Hello and welcome to the 21st episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast, our final episode of the year. Thank you so much for listening, especially if you've been with us from the beginning. On today's episode, we talk about some more dream adventures, get some more good news from Australia, talk about two massive favorites, and our final animal of the week is one that desperately needs our help. Now for the final time in 2020, let's dive into episode 21 of the Animal Addicts Podcast. Hello and welcome to the 21st episode of the Animal Addicts Podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Sally.
And Casey.
And today we're going to talk about a whole new sleighful.
What?
Sure. Yep, they're not going to fit in a sleigh, actually. I don't think.
What's a sleighful?
I don't think any of the animals that we're going to... It's just a lot. It's just a group of animals. Because it's Christmas, Casey, and Santa comes...
Oh, sleighful.
Yes.
Okay.
What did you think I said?
I thought you were saying it as one word.
No.
I was like, what's a sleighful?
A sleighful. Although I don't think the animals we're talking about today would fit in a sleigh. Neither of our.
It would be a tight fit.
What's our?
One of them would.
One would. The others would be a little squishy. The poor reindeer. Anyway, so we're gonna talk about some cool animals today, and it is our 21st episode. Oh my gosh, Christmas is when our episode would be allowed to legally drink
eggnog.
Also, happy birthday, Mom.
Feliz cumpleaños. Feliz Navidad.
All of the things. Talk about sharing your birthday with a celebrity. Man. Okay. Anyway. So what have you been up to, Casey, or what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is this morning I actually found a jumping spider in my window.
Oh, and was that exciting for you?
Yes.
Because most people would not like that.
I like it because jumping spiders are cute. They're tiny, they're like really small, and all their eyes face forward. It kind of looks like they have a cute face with all their different eyes.
I'm so sorry, because you're talking about your spider.
But yeah, I like jumping spiders because they're like the most objectively cute of the spiders.
Are they?
Yes.
I don't know if they are.
Yes, they are.
Okay, show me a picture of one.
I will.
Oh, he's going to pull it up right now.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, this is my issue. I actually don't know what's worse, a small spider that's going to jump or a big spider that's going to jump. Because at least I can see where the big spider is going. I feel like a small spider, I don't know where it's going to land, and that upsets me. Oh, that's really cute. The red one's really cute.
Yeah.
Okay, I take it back. Those are adorable. Isn't that what Lucas is in that one?
Yes.
Yes!
Lucas on YouTube is a jumping spider.
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah. I believe he's a bolt jumping spider is the species
okay.
He is.
I agree with you. Those are really cute. That one is adorable. Oh my gosh.
This one, obviously, there's a peacock. I believe it's called a peacock jumping spider.
That makes sense.
And this is a male. Obviously, no one can see it, but it has a little floof to track the dance with the females.
Yes, this looks like a mating dance for sure.
Yeah, and then there's times afterwards he gets eaten.
Well, you know what? I'm down with the spiders. They gotta put up with a lot of BS, and that's what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that looks like Lucas right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess we're gonna have to post a picture of a jumping spider because now we're like, oh, that's so cute, and no one has any idea what we're talking about.
Yep.
So that's fun. Was it really cute like those?
Not like those. It was a bit bigger and not as cute colors.
Okay.
But I still find them cute because their face.
Their face is really cute.
Yes.
I do appreciate that. Mm. Okay, well, that's exciting. Of course, shocker, we had to record this episode in advance because Casey and I don't live together.
Nope.
And it's Christmas. I'm hoping that my cat and my parents' dog are going to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that while you're listening to this, they have decided they're okay with each other and we're all chilling in the living room together because... the cat, we have a little doggy door, like a little, the thing that I was in quarantine behind, a little like doggy gate / child gate, and I'm pretty sure she can jump over it, and he could jump over it if he really wants to,
And he could probably just bowl through it. Like, he could probably just run it down and destroy the wall.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how it goes. I don't think he's been introduced to a cat, and I don't think she's ever been introduced to a dog. Mm. At least with our previous pets, when, like, my parents adopted a dog, we had cats that were raised with dogs, so at least the cat wasn't going to freak out.
Yeah, with my last cats and my last dog I had, we got my cats when they were kittens, so they had never been around a dog, and then we got a dog who wasn't around cats because he tried. Had to go after them a bit. Yeah,
so that's what we're going to have to look out for.
But then eventually, one of the cats would cuddle up with him. It was really cute.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Then the other one, who's like top cat, was like, swatted at him every time he walked by.
I kind of hope they'll play together because they both like to play, but mm-hmm. we'll see. But he's big and kind of clumsy, and he could hurt her if he got too crazy. But we'll see how it goes. I'm more concerned about her freaking out and then him reacting to that. But we'll see. What are we probably doing right now, Casey? Let's see. I'm probably in pajamas, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Probably in my HP pajamas this morning is my guess. I'm going to predict the future. I guess I can make it happen. But that's probably what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Are my Harry Potter pajamas. And maybe having some hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
You can have eggnog. You have eggnog right now?
I actually hate eggnog.
Yeah, actually, I don't like it either.
Yeah. My family probably will be making mimosas again. That's what we did on Thanksgiving.
Christmas mimosas.
No, actually, what we usually do on Christmas morning all the time is like, well, I'll make this like egg casserole kind of breakfast dish in the morning.
Okay.
Oh, and it's kind of in the shape of a bundt cake.
Oh.
It's good.
I don't think we have a traditional breakfast. I think we usually have ham.
Well, it's only something we just recently started doing a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. And I will be wearing my ugly Christmas sweater.
Yes.
It has T-Rexes on it. It has dinosaurs on it.
I want to see this.
They're not, like, detailed. It's from, like, one of those T-shirt campaigns that you, like, find on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. It still looks fun.
Yeah.
Will you be up early or will you be sleeping in?
I can't sleep, so I'll be up early.
Oh, that stinks. I've always slept in, even when I was a kid. Mm. Like, most kids are up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
I was like, no, sleeping.
Yeah. It seems like I sleep in, but that's just because I spend the first 2 hours just laying in my bed, twiddling around on my phone.
Oh, I remember when phones weren't a thing, Casey.
I do, too, technically, when I was younger.
Like, a tiny toddler.
These smartphones I didn't have growing up, obviously.
Yeah, those are newer. A flip phone? Did you have that razor that everybody had?
No, my parents determined I was too antisocial to have a phone.
That's probably accurate, honestly. That's probably a good choice on their part. Well, anyway, our pets should be opening their presents and hopefully having fun with that and hopefully getting along.
Yep.
And then we'll all be in jammies, or you'll be in your sweater.
Yes.
I wear jammies all day on Christmas.
I don't have jammies. I just have shorts and a raggedy old t-shirt.
Okay. Well, and something comfortable, I guess.
Yep.
And we'll just chill and relax. Do you watch anything specific on Christmas?
No.
Okay. No Christmas Story, none of those things?
I don't like Christmas movies for the most part.
What about Home Alone?
That's the exception, because
okay,
I get people
injured. Killed them.
Yes. I was actually watching.
I think they did like Mythbusters on that or something, and it's like, oh, they would have been dead.
Probably. Like, I was watching, there's a YouTuber who's also a doctor, and he was like, I just watched a video of him reacting to like all the different injuries in Home Alone and Home Alone 2. It's like, he'd be dead.
Yeah,
he would not be getting up.
He'd be dead. Also, I saw recently, and I feel this so strongly, it's like, what job does he do that he can afford that house and a trip to Paris for like, what is it, like 12 people or something?
Yeah.
Like, what job are you doing that you can do this?
A banker.
Oh my gosh.
But like me and my family always have that conversation whenever we go to like Oceanside and see all the houses right by the beach. It's like, what do you do for a living? And it's like, they're all lawyers. That's the only way.
There are other ways, but anyway. Or you just were born into money. That's a nice way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that's not the point of this. We've gotten off on a tangent, but fun times. So, speaking of wanting to be able to afford that house and a trip to Paris for that many people, what kind of things do you want to do, Casey, if you had money?
Well, if I had money, I would travel.
Yes, I agree.
And if I were to go to, like, I would like to go to different ecological, nature-ish places in the world.
Yeah.
Yep. And I always wanted to go to the Galapagos, also as a part of pride of being a biology major.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I need to go.
Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Hmm?
I'm not going to edit that, by the way, because that's the name of the show. Have you watched Schitt's Creek?
Schitt's Creek,
yes.
No.
You need to watch it because one of the characters winds up going to the Galapagos.
Oh. Ah.
They don't actually go to the Galapagos and film it, but, like, he is there.
Ah.
Technically. Okay. Anyway, continue. So you want to go to the Galapagos.
Yes. I want to see the giant tortoises on the islands.
Yes.
And the finches.
Mm-hmm. The vampire finch.
Yes. And, another place I want to go because of, like, it's also a beautiful place is the Las Cracas de Quazul. It's the largest series of waterfalls in the world. It actually spans two countries.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so if you want to go on, there's, like, it's on a river, and in order to go on the near side of it, you have to go going on a tour from one country, and then for a different part of it, you have to go from a different country.
Wow. Is Angel Falls part of that system?
I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's, like, a bunch. It's an ecological preserve as well. And so there's, like, sometimes you could, like, see jaguars, a bunch of different other animals because it's the tropics. Most diverse ecosystem on the planet.
Right.
So. Let's see.
Where else? Where else would you go on this magical ecological tour?
It's very basic, but Africa, I want to go on a safari in Africa.
Yeah, same.
The Great Barrier Reef.
That's super basic, but yes.
Yes, but it's dying, so I need to see it.
Yeah, before it dies.
Yeah.
You're taking me with you on this trip, right?
Well, ideally, it would be my significant other, but I doubt I'll ever find someone to marry, so sure.
Okay, great. I'll be your backup point.
Yes, you're my backup.
Well, I mean, mine are probably the same, mostly, because mm-hmm. I definitely want to go, I think it's usually in Mexico somewhere, where the little babies, the little baby sea turtles, when they hatch.
Oh, yeah, the Artibata, like, I would love to see, too.
And I want to help, like, guide them to the waves and, like, be like, no, birds, go away. Because they're so cute, and I just want to see that, because I think that'd be amazing. It's just to see, like, a bazillion little baby sea turtles. I definitely want to go to the Great Barrier Reef, for sure. Probably sooner rather than later, because of issues.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see the Great Migration in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see the, like, millions of wildebeest. I will definitely not be posted up at the river crossings, though, because I don't want to watch that part.
Oh, why not?
Nope, that's horrible. Don't want to watch that.
Well, you're going to see them get picked off by wild dogs, lions, and cheetahs on the way there.
I know, but I feel like if I'm, like, just, like, in a land part, that's it will happen, but not, like, the whole time. Because in the river crossings, it's just going to be endless.
Yeah.
Constant. So, I just want to watch that. I just want to, like, and I want to be up, like, in a plane just to see, the magnitude of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I definitely want to go, I don't know exactly where in South America, but I want to go to South America because, like you said, greatest diversity. Where else? Let's see. How many did I say? Four? Africa, Great Barrier Reef.
I'm trying to think of some mass migration I would like to see.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't that be cool?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's the most, there's a lot of places I want to go just because I want to travel in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like India has a lot of really cool animals, too, I'd probably want to see. But those are probably... And then I have other places I want to go that aren't necessarily animal-related, but are just, like, nature or...
Yeah, I would also love to go to Madagascar. That's one place.
That is a great choice.
Mm-hmm.
Madagascar is a very good... Maybe Australia. Just in... That's Great Barrier Reef, but just Australia in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's pretty cool down there, and... I don't know. I mean, we have cool stuff, too, but I can't think of anything that's, like... mind-bogglingly cool here.
We have stuff. It's just we're biased.
Used to it. And we're like, meh.
Yeah, like honestly, like everyone here in the States says like everything over in Australia wants to kill you. And then if you talk to people like from Australia that have been to the States too, it's like it's far worse here than it is back home.
How is it worse here?
We just grew up with this stuff, and so we see their things as terrifying when it's like, remember, they don't have things like wolves, cougars, bears.
Yeah, but a little tiny spider can kill you in Australia that you can easily run into. You're not likely to run into wolves.
Well, it's not likely those spiders will kill you.
But yeah, but they could be in your house. Like, a bear's generally not just in your house. Usually. I mean, yes, we have things, but you have to go out to get those things.
Or just think you do.
I mean, a cougar you can run into. That's like the most, okay, that's the most common one you'd run into. But also, a lot of times you can fight off a cougar pretty easily.
Yeah. But that's according to the Australians that have been to the United States. That
I'm sorry, Australia. Your stuff is way more venomous. Not doing it. No way. And a lot of it that's super venomous is cute. So you're like, oh, look at this cute thing that's going to murder me. And they get the box jellies really bad over there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be everything in the ocean over there. Are you kidding me? Saltwater crocodiles. Enough said. Enough said. Anyway. Still, though, I do want to go to Australia.
Well, we have alligators over in Florida.
We do. But true. And I don't go in that water either. But, like, I'm not for the... I mean, they can...
Also, you have to remember, we're just from California. And the United States as a whole is much bigger than Australia.
Oh, yeah. So we have a huge variety, like, spread out.
Yeah.
But in a smaller space, they have so many cool things. Mm-hmm. I mean, even a kangaroo can... And their birds, their murder birds, emus and cassowaries. At least a cassowary's pretty, but, like, it's gonna murder you.
Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah, we need to have money so we can go...
We have deer.
I mean, they can, but, like, usually...
No, like, deer kill more people than any other animal each year.
But usually that's because you're, like, hunting them or out in their space. Like, I'm not just walking down my sidewalk and...
Well, they're in kangaroo space.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway. Speaking of Australia, Casey. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Fitting. Well, there is more good news from Australia. Yay! So, there is this little bitty pygmy possum species. It is the smallest possum species in the world. And they were worried that during the bushfires, at least the Kangaroo Island population, they were worried that it was just totally wiped out. And when I'm saying they're small, they're so little. They're only 6 to 8 grams. And they're found in a couple places, but Kangaroo Island is one of the main places. And when the bushfires went through, it burned... over half of the bushland on Kangaroo Island, obviously devastating, and 93 of that was the habitat for these little pygmy possums. So they were obviously afraid they had been completely wiped out.
Right.
And they were already listed as threatened before that happened. So, but the good news is they've recently found some. Yay! They haven't been wiped out. So, anyway, it's just really exciting because they're hoping that they're actually going to find more, and that they haven't been wiped out. But now they're concerned because now they'll go into a new bushfire season.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but they're so cute. I'll definitely post a picture of them. But yay, good news from Australia. A species they thought got wiped out didn't. And is so little.
Yes.
They're so little bitty. Oh, they're so cute.
Anyway. And of course, because they're cute, they're important.
God. Whatever. Yes. They are important. they're tiny. They're also just a special type of thing. They're the smallest of their kind. So you should care about that, Casey. Because most people don't view possums as cute, even though they are really important and awesome. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. So yay, good news.
Salud. Or not.
I'm sorry. I'm always tired. That's my problem. But right now I'm chilling and hopefully having hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
But today also, I'm gonna sneak this in here right now, Casey. Now you know it doesn't have to come at you later. It's a holiday today, Casey.
Yes, it is.
It is.
In the future.
In the future. The day that this airs is a holiday. And you know, some animals like holidays. Obviously, turkeys aren't a fan of Thanksgiving. Not a good day for them. But what is a duck's favorite part, Casey, of the 4th of July?
A I don't know.
The fire quackers.
Good Lord, woman.
So great. Anyway, look, we got past the hard part, Casey. That was the part you don't like. Now we can talk about all the stuff that you do like.
Yay!
So it was Casey's turn to choose our favorites this week. It was not Casey's.
It was not my choice.
Allie is losing her mind.
And she's sober right now,
too.
It was
not. I'm tired, everybody. It's been a lot. It was my choice. I'm so sorry to choose our favorites. That's because we kept going back and forth on them. But we decided to go with, honestly, we decided because I was having issues.
Yeah.
We decided to go with our favorite animals native to the North Pole.
And top also, of the world.
Also part of the problem, we have covered some of them yep. already in other things, like polar bears and all that such. So maybe not their favorite, but our favorite that's left over. And they are both cool. They're really cool. So I'm excited. And I'm yes. excited that Casey chose his because I was also interested in that. So Casey, tell us about your favorite first.
All right. So my favorite of what's left.
Yes.
Is the walrus.
Yes.
Whose scientific name is Odobenus rosmarus. Yes, they live in the Arctic Circle, and they prefer areas that have plenty of sea ice and are typically shallower, and so they have easier time feeding. And there's 3 subspecies in the world. I'm not going to list them all because I didn't bother listing them.
Wow, okay. There we go.
Yeah, but they are the 3rd largest pinniped in the world.
What is a pinniped?
A pinniped is, you know, the flipper things.
That's so cool. How many of those are there in the world?
There's a lot of pinnipeds.
Probably a lot, because all the seals
yeah.
and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seals, sea lions, yeah. and the walruses.
So wait, they're the 3rd largest?
Yes.
Who's bigger than an elephant?
Northern and southern elephant seals.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we have northern elephant.
That's terrifying, because the walrus is freaking huge.
Yes.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue.
Yeah, but with elephant seals, like these guys are sexually dimorphic, but in elephant seals, it's even more extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the northern elephant seals when I was up in Santa Barbara mm-hmm. about a year or two ago.
That's intense.
Yes. And, oh yeah. So in captivity, these guys live to be about in their 30s, and then the wild, it's about 30 to 40 years as well.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, they're sexually dimorphic, with males being significantly larger than the females. Females about 600 to 850 kilograms.
That's
about
all.
And about 2.7 meters long. Males about 1,200 to 1,500 kilograms and are about 3.2 meters long.
That's bigger than you.
Yes. Much bigger than me, yeah. Thank you.
I don't mean weight-wise, I mean length-wise. Now you're 1,000 kilograms. Continue.
Yes, so both males and females have tusks, but they tend to be larger on the males. Average length is 50 centimeters, but they can get to almost a meter long.
Are you serious? That is horrifying. And I'm afraid of walruses.
Yep. And they're used primarily to haul themselves back onto ice floes and to fend off predators.
Oh, that's interesting. That does make sense. You have to kind of like anchor yourself. It's like the axes for like the climbers.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yes. And another defense is their skin and blubber.
Okay.
Because they're thick.
They are thick.
Their skin is 2 to 4 centimeters. Wow. While their blubber underneath that, it can be 25 centimeters thick.
Well, that has to insulate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And like I said, this is both for thermoregulation and defense. And it is so thick that a polar bear's canines cannot penetrate it.
Holy snap. Yeah. So what is hunting these?
Polar bears and killer whales.
Killer whales.
Yeah, polar bears, they have to hunt them a very specific way, and so they have to go for, like, their
under
face
their
and
neck.
Yeah, because not very thick there.
But then you have to go with the tusks.
Yes, cool. Which is why they typically don't go after the adults. They're after the pups.
Babies, yeah, that makes sense.
And that's difficult because they're with mom.
So can a killer whale get through that hide?
Yeah, they can work together.
That's right.
Yeah, but it would be very rare because they... Like, they can also probably take on leopard seals, but it's you have to weigh risk versus reward as a predator. So that would be very uncommon.
So that's probably why they do well in the wild, because not too many things are going after adults, at least. So only pups that are going to be preyed upon.
And they also have hairs on their face called vibrisse.
And it looks like the little whiskers.
Yes.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yes, they are full of nerves, and they use that to shift around in the mud looking for shellfish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because their mouths are weird. You know, like there's other just regular fish-eating seals and sea lions. Whereas these guys, they have like a weird curved palate. It's concave shape, because what they feed on pretty much almost exclusively on shellfish. So what they'll do is they'll suck it in, lift their tongue up and crush the shell, and then slurp it down the meat.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
But cool.
Yes, it is. And they have, this is where it gets dark.
Oh, no.
For them, not something they do. So these guys actually have very small eyes and poor eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
So you may remember like videos of like walruses falling off cliffs and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like, why are walruses being so dumb and stuff? That is actually a scene from our planet. And what was happening is because there's so fewer ice, that now they're hauling onto these islands and they're overcrowded. So they want to get away from each other, so they climb up. And they don't have good eyesight, and they have a mucus covering on their eyes. And when that dries out, they can't see very well. So then they try to get back to the water. They just fall off.
Yep. We're the worst.
Yep.
We're awful. It's our fault that's happening. Ugh. If they fell in the water, would they be okay? And they didn't hit land?
Probably.
I mean, it depends how high.
Possibly, yeah. Because there's a certain point where you fall onto water at a certain height. It's basically concrete.
Yeah.
Yep.
That would be, could you imagine the splash that would create, though? If it was just like 10 feet up. Like, it should be okay 10 feet up.
Yeah.
Like the splash that would happen after a walrus belly flopped into the water.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That makes me sad. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So these guys are listed under Appendix 3 of Spicites, and they are listed as vulnerable by the IUCN Red List. Populations estimated to be about 112,000 mature individuals, and their trend is unknown. And yeah. That's the walrus.
I guess that's mostly to habitat loss.
Yep.
That makes sense. Okay, well, mine is another large animal. And you will hear its name and want to sing a song, probably. Yes. My animal is the narwhal. And their scientific name is Monodon monoceros, is what I'm going with. They typically live more in the ocean, deeper waters of the Arctic. They're estimated to live up to 50 years, and they are also sexually dimorphic. Males are larger than the females. They're generally about 4 to 5 meters long, which is pretty long, 900 to 1600 kilograms. And the males have a long spiral tusk, which is an enlarged tooth, which is crazy.
Yes.
I'm still freaked out about the bone shedding antlers, though. At least a tooth kind of makes sense to me.
Their teeth are weird, though.
Yeah. They are found in some females, and the tusk can get up to 3 meters long. Holy snap. You just get shish kebab on that. What it's used for.
Yes.
Shish kebabbing. I would like to imagine them having sword fights.
Well, that's what they thought. They thought it was males competing for each other, but there's problems with that. First off, they've never observed males
doing that.
Secondly, their tooth is weird because it's like the opposite of what our tooth is like. The inside of our tooth is pretty soft, outside is hard.
Yeah.
For them, it's the reverse, and that thing is just full of nerves, and it's very sensitive.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it's just so long that it wouldn't be easy to stab something. Like, it would be more of a bashing than a, like... In D&D terms, it would be piercing, not bludgeoning.
Yeah, because like they thought about them using it as like stunning prey, but then it wouldn't make sense why the males would have it, but not the females.
Maybe it's kind of like, you know, snakes use their tongue. Maybe it's like there's receptors on their little toothy thing.
Well, that's what the hypothesis is now, that it has some kind of sensory purpose.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress.
Mm-hmm.
Studies have found it is full of up to 10 million nerve endings, as Casey was starting to allude to, suggesting it has some sensory function. They have a blubbery layer that is 50 to 100 millimeters thick. How thick is that in inches?
In millimeters? 50 to 100. That is about 5 to 10 centimeters.
So not that big.
No, like maybe...
Not like the walrus, which is insane.
No, like 3 to 5 inches, I think.
That's still pretty good, but not like a walrus. And that can account for 30 to 35% body weight. Unlike many other toothed whales, it does not have a dorsal fin in order to maneuver under sea ice. There we are. Receding sea ice is now exposing some of the populations to predation by orcas. I cannot stand them.
They're like your arch nemesis.
They are. They're so awful. We're not calling them orcas. They're getting killer whales. Killer whales is their name. I am rethinking Free Willy. I'm not. He should be free. But still, like, anyway. They're deep diving predators, and they dive up to depths of 900. I almost said millimeters.
What?
Not doing anything. 900 meters. They have a very limited diet. Examinations of stomach contents in winter and fall. Greenland, I cannot read, you guys.
Halibut.
Yes, Greenland. I was like, Greenland habitat. That's wrong. Greenland halibut was something found. And Boreo Atlantic arm hook squid. What is that?
It's a squid.
Really? I gather. Are you familiar with what that looks like? How big that is? Is it just a normal squid?
No, but I do know, like, colossal squid have hooks on their tentacles.
Oh, gross. Okay.
And they're the biggest squid in the world.
Don't like it.
Even bigger than giant squid.
And then in the spring diet, they like to eat the polar and Arctic cod. Don't we eat Arctic cod?
We eat an Atlantic cod.
Oh, my bad.
Well, not so much anymore, guys. We overfished them, and now the fisheries are struggling to bounce back.
Anywho. But that's this. They have their specific food that they want. That's what they're eating. They may not feed in summer, as no tissue has been found in stomach examinations in summer months, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But they're warmer then. That makes no sense. Okay, whatever. Other than its tusk, they have no teeth, and it's suspected that they are suction feeders. They just suck up a whole cod. That's terrifying. Okay.
Belugas do something similar. They'll just create a vacuum and suck it.
Yeah, but belugas are awesome. I mean, not that narwhals aren't. Narwhals are also cool, but belugas are cooler. And they are listed as least concern by the IUCN Red List. Population is estimated at 123,000, otherwise known as 123,000 mature individuals, and their trend is unknown. I imagine it is hard to study them.
Yes, that's why they're so...
Yes, they're kind of elusive. But, of course, they're very distinctive looking. Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the most distinctive looking animals in the world, and yes. I would call them the unicorn of the sea. That's what I'm going with. Or the rhino of the sea. So, there we go.
Yes.
So the walrus and the narwhal, they're not fitting in the sleigh together. It's not happening.
Mm.
They're too big. They'd stick out the ends. They're too long. The walrus is going to weigh that down. But you know what will fit in the sleigh, Casey?
Our animal of the
our
week.
Our animal of the week. And our animal of the week is...
The giant pangolin.
The giant pangolin, which I know nothing about. This was clearly Casey's choice, and let's learn about it together, folks.
Yes. So, these guys come from the order Pholidota, which is pangolins.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just pangolins.
Don't these kind of look like armadillos?
Kind of, but they have scales.
Oh, okay.
They're from the family Manidae.
Okay.
Yes, and the genus... For this one now, it is now Smutsia. It used to be Manis.
Oh.
Yeah, all pangolins used to be genus Manis.
I feel and like this is an insult, Smutsia.
And the scientific name is Smutsia gigantea.
Okay.
Yep. And these are found in Western and Central Sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay.
Okay. Live in forest and savanna habitats. And so, in terms of lifespan, it's not well known because they don't do well in captivity.
Oh, no.
The oldest only live to be about 4.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And like I said, they don't do well in captivity because they're highly prone to illness induced by stress, and diet is difficult to mimic.
Okay.
And again, it's unknown in the wild, but they do have a low reproductive rate. They only have 1 calf per gestation. I think they're called pups.
It was a calf?
Which may suggest they have a longer lifespan.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And this is the giant penguin, so it is the largest. Let me go back up. It weighs about 30 to 35 kilos. It's about 1.5 meters long.
Okay, that's pretty big.
Yes. And here's a new word for you to learn.
Okay.
They're myrmecophagous.
Myrmecophagous?
Myrmecophagous.
What does that mean?
It means they specialize in eating termites and ants.
Oh, like ant eaters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe they used to be classified with them, but now they're classified.
Myrmecophilus. Nope.
Myrmecophagous.
Myrmecophagous.
Yes.
I'm never going to get that.
I think it's technically myrmecophagous.
Either way.
Yeah. So, and this is the reason why they don't do well in captivity, because this diet's hard to replicate because it's high in fat, okay, high in protein, and then high in calories.
What do they eat? Oh, well, the termites and the ants, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's would be very costly. You just give them a bunch of ants and termites. So, like, with a bunch of insectivores, they would just make an insectivore chow, but this kind of nutrition profile is hard to replicate. Mm. Mm-hmm. And there is some international relevance with pangolins in relation to COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Yes. So it is suspected that the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 originated in bats, but it is possible that it transferred over to pangolins, and then in wet markets, they were basically acting as an intermediate host for the virus before it infected humans.
But how, what did they do? Like walk around on food and stuff that people touched?
No, they were being sold.
They peed on it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, we're going to get more into that later, and okay, I'm going to make you very depressed.
Casey, it is Christmas.
I'm sorry. I did not plan this out.
Okay.
We did not plan this out because of the hiatus.
We didn't. COVID. Rah.
Yeah. So these guys are cool because, like I said, their body is covered in overlapping scales made of keratin.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are the only mammal with scales.
That is cool.
Yes.
They're like a dragon, except for a dragon wouldn't be a mammal. But nope. I'm going to call it a dragon.
Yes. And they will actually curl up into a ball with only their scales exposed.
So that's like an armadillo.
Yes.
Okay.
And they will actually contract muscles while they're in that ball to cut predators with their scales.
Oh, snap! That's cool.
Yep. Another form of defense they have is they will secrete a very foul-smelling liquid.
Yep, that usually works.
Yes. Yeah, and the interesting thing with these is we don't really know what their predators are because we know humans go after them, but we don't really know what else does.
But do humans eat them, or are they just getting them as pets?
I'm going to get into the trade of penguins later on because it's dramatic.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to make you very sad.
Casey.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I wanted to end with this because it's important.
Okay, it is important.
Yeah. They do have very strong forelimbs with long claws because they have to dig out the termite mounds.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And they can dig out burrows to shelter themselves, or they will sometimes take over abandoned burrows like aardvark burrows and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yep.
But they're not aggressive. They don't fight for them generally.
No, they are not aggressive at all. Yeah. And unlike the vast majority of other mammals, they do not have teeth.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But I'll bet they have a really long tongue.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, fun fact, penguins were actually originally placed in the order Edentata, which includes sloths, anteaters, and armadillos.
Okay.
And it was because of their lack of teeth. But they are actually more closely related to the carnivorans.
What? How?
Yeah. Well, that I'm pretty sure comes down to genetic testing, but yeah, basically the reason why they're toothless is an instance of convergent evolution by having an insectivorous diet. They didn't need teeth anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. And like you said, they probably do have a long tongue, and indeed they do. It's 70 centimeters long.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And they actually use the hyoid bone, the bone, that loose bone that's in your neck. They will use that to scrape off the ants from the tongue and to swallow it.
Ugh.
And this species of pangolin is nocturnal and is terrestrial, and so they'll just kind of wobble around on all fours.
Wobbles.
Yeah, or they have, like, I've seen this in the smaller ground species of pangolins, but I don't think the giants do because they're so big, but they will hold up their arms and just walk on two legs.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
Yes. I think they're very cute, but almost nobody knows about them. Whenever, if like most people I know, if I ever mention pangolins to them, they have no clue what I'm talking
right,
about.
Yeah, no.
And they have, this is where one problem they have is they have a very low metabolic rate.
Okay.
And very little hair. So they're not good at thermoregulating like most other mammals are. So they're very reliant on the temperature of their environment.
Aww.
Yeah.
So this is where you're going to tell me how we're screwing them up and they're all dying now, right?
Yes.
Great, cool.
Okay, so they're listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List,
mm-hmm.
which is much better than some of the other ones. And back in 2008, it was listed as near threatened.
Okay.
So just to show how quickly that changed.
That changed, yeah.
Yeah. And they are listed under Appendix 1 under CITES. And they were originally under Appendix 2, and they were added back to, they were added to Appendix 1 back in 2017, so only 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Pangolins are the most trafficked animal on the planet.
So weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah, so all pangolins are threatened with extinction, all listed under at least Appendix 2 of CITES, and three of the species are critically endangered.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And you probably don't know what it is.
No.
Yeah. So there are still many seizures of illegal African pangolins exported to Asia, despite them being listed under Appendix 1, which is the highest regulation that an animal can get. And the Asian, and this is because the Asian pangolin species, their populations are declining due to overhunting because of the wildlife trade. Yes. And it's primarily their scales that they're being trafficked for. But they also have most other parts of the body are included in the illegal wildlife trade.
Aww.
Yeah. So they're being trafficked because some people believe their scales or other body parts can treat stomach disorders, prevent miscarriages, reproductive complications, treating mental disorders, protection from spirits, and casting love potions.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like I said, the scales are a main reason, but all body parts and all life stages, from even embryos for soup, are involved in the wildlife trade.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Between 2012 and 2016, 6,115 kilograms of giant pangolin scales were, which equals to 1,697 pangolins were confiscated.
That's terrible.
Yes. Back in 2018, a study found that between 1993 and 2004, it is estimated that between 400,000 and 2.7 million pangolins were poached every year in Africa during that period.
That's horrible.
Yes. That equates to about 100,000 pangolins per year.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So keep in mind, one commonly stated statistic is that there's three rhinos that are poached every day, which equates to about 1,095 rhinos per year. More pangolins are killed in a day than rhinos in a whole year.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And given that these species, none of them, do well in captivity, captive breeding programs are not feasible. So if the rate of poaching does not go down, this species will go extinct.
Because there's no way we can
trend. Yeah.
That is so depressing, Casey.
Yes.
Okay, everyone in Asia, stop. Mm-hmm. Using pangolin ingredients in mm-hmm. your medicines.
Yeah. So the Chinese government is starting to cut because of COVID, probably more likely than anything else, they are starting to, they are putting pangolins under the highest level of protection that the government does. Mm-hmm. So some indications of action being taken against the illegal wildlife trade.
And mm-hmm. I don't trust the Chinese government to really yeah. regulate that. No offense.
Yeah.
But that is awful. And Casey, we just need to have scientists in charge of everything.
Yes.
So that we can stop killing everything. It's awful.
Yeah.
Casey, now we have to turn this episode around.
I don't know how.
Oh my gosh. Well, here's the deal, everyone. You know how a lot of times we wish for world peace and everything at the end of the year. Let's make it a New Year's resolution to raise awareness for pangolins. Mm-hmm. Did I even say that right?
Yeah, it's great. Pangolins.
Okay. Pangolins, not penguins. Pangolins. Raise awareness. Let everyone know that that they're not medicinal. Also, just mm-hmm. killing animals for that is BS. And stop. Mm-hmm. And let's try to turn this around. Let's all together, listeners. Let's all try to do something next year that's mm-hmm. gonna help us, you know, help with conservation. Let's all make a vow. We'll check back in with that. Yep. We should all choose things to focus on for next yep. year. You know, like how you like choose like a specific goal. I choose multiple and I just try mm-hmm. to improve them. I don't ever say like, do yep. this exactly. I'm just like, improve this. Let's all pick something. So, Casey, think about what you're going to focus on next year, and I'll mm-hmm. think about what I'm going to focus on. And listeners, yep. let us know what you're going to focus on. But I suggest that one of them be talk about pangolins, because mm-hmm. no one knows what they are, and they're horribly threatened.
Yep. And if you can, donate to a conservation organization specifically working with pangolins.
I mean, they should be able to use them, like, make reserves at least, where they can be in their natural habitat, mm-hmm. where they could be protected.
Yeah, but then that comes down to government agencies. And that can vary a lot.
And they're not in the same habitat as rhinos.
Yep.
Because at least if you're in with rhinos mm-hmm. or someone that they care about, like we talked about before,
yeah, flagship species.
Yeah, then it would help. But mm-hmm. okay, somebody with money set up a pangolin reserve. Okay, this yep. is very important.
And also another thing is like at least with rhinos, like a third of all white rhinos now live on private land, so they're protected that way.
Yeah.
And you could just move rhinos to somewhere else. You can't move these guys because
yeah.
they are specifically adapted to the temperature and the environment that they live in.
Oh, yeah, and they don't regulate well, so they yeah. can't just go to a zoo somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like unless the San Diego Zoo had inside. Two as animal ambassadors, and even they didn't last very long.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that is our goal, everyone. We're gonna become little activists for the pangolins next year, and I'm going to try to turn this around right now, Casey. Mm-hmm. The challenge, because it's Christmas, Casey. We're going to do a Christmas challenge. I did try to find Hanukkah-related animals and was not successful. So if you celebrate another holiday, please let me know if there are any animal-related things with Hanukkah, with Kwanzaa, with anything else, because I want to be more inclusive, but this mm-hmm. is airing on Christmas specifically, so we're going to do a Christmas challenge, Casey. All right, are you ready?
No, but I have to.
Okay, you have to. There is a total of 20 points possible.
Okay.
Not including the 2 bonus points, okay?
Alrighty.
If you score 10 or less, you are Scrooge Bah Humbug. Okay? Which is you in real life.
But I know.
If you score 11 to 15, I should say, you are the Grinch.
I am the Grinch.
Because I understand him, though. He just wants to be away from people with his dog, and I get it. If you score 16 to 18, you are Buddy the Elf. So excited about Christmas. Woo! And if you get 20, you are Santa, bringing joy to all of the people and children mostly. And a chubby buddies, yes. All right, here we go. We'll time it. Please set a timer, Casey.
Alrighty.
How much did you give me? 3 minutes for the last one?
I think I gave you 2.
I think you gave me 3.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 3.
Alrighty.
Here we go. What are you ready? And go. What are the names of all of Santa's reindeer, including the red-nosed one?
Rudolph, Blitzen, Donner. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. Can I skip?
You want to pass those? You want to just do those?
Huh?
We can come back to it.
Okay.
So far, okay. All right. which of these of the reindeer, aside from Rudolph, had its own movie?
Was it Blitzen?
No. Okay. According to the song The 12 Days of Christmas, how many birds were gifted total? Is it 9, 17, 23, or 31?
31.
Incorrect.
Damn.
All right, we'll go back for the right answers later. I'll let you try to do the bonus anyway. Which type of bird were the majority given?
What?
Because it goes up by numbers all the time.
Swans are swimming.
You got that! Yay, it's the swans. Okay. What kind of animal was not stirring in Clement Clark Moore's famous A Visit from St. Nicholas poem, also known as The Night Before Christmas poem?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Repeat the question.
What kind of animal was not even stirring in the Clement Clark Moore's famous A Visit from St. Nicholas poem, also known
not
as the
a...
Night Before Christmas poem? Expected you to get this one.
Oh my gosh. Not a... I don't remember animal being mentioned in this poem.
It very much is.
I just remember not
I'll
a creature.
Give you the yes, yeah, it's the next line after that.
Not even a mouse.
Yay!
My gosh.
Got it. Okay, finally. You should have gotten that one. Okay, only this animal would do in this song. I want a blank for Christmas.
Hippopotamus.
Yes. Okay. What is the name of the Grinch's dog?
I don't know.
Okay. What did Grandma get run over
by a reindeer?
Yep. What kind of dogs are the Bumpus dogs in Christmas Story?
What?
You can pass.
Pass.
Okay. What is Jack Skellington's dog's name in The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Why don't I remember these?
I don't know. I expected you to know this one.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what can I remember? I've watched that a million times.
Yeah. I've never even seen it all the way through, and I know. Because he's a dog. All right, there we go. Let's see how we did. Okay.
I'm Scrooge.
You're Scrooge. You're definitely Scrooge. Four, five, six. Oh, six. All right. Okay, I expected you to do better. I expected you to get all the reindeer.
I don't know.
All right, well, let's go back through it. And there are questions we didn't even get to, but we'll go back through it. We'll get sued. It's fine. We'll talk about it. So what are the names of all of Santa's reindeer, including the red-nosed one? Rudolph, obviously. Mm. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen. We had amazing choreo to that in choir in high school that we didn't actually get to perform because it was kind of inappropriate in some of them because Donner, we like the Donner party.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway. And Blitzen was like football. Anyway. Okay. Which of the reindeer aside from Rudolph had its own movie? It was Prancer. It was in 1989. It starred Sam Elliott. According to the song The 12 Days of Christmas, oh, I should have written them all out for you, but my bad. How many birds were gifted total? It's 23.
23.
It's a partridge in a pear tree, 2 turtle doves, 3 French hens, the 7 swans of swimming you got, and then the 6 geese of laying.
Mm.
Yes. And then, you finally got that one. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Okay, you got there, finally. The only animal that would do was the hippopotamus, of course. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. The Grinch's dog's name is Max.
Dang it.
You got Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Love that song. The Bumpus dogs from A Christmas Story are, I will accept hounds. Hounds, basically. Bloodhounds is what it really seems like, but they're hounds. They eat the turkey. It's a whole thing.
Anyway. No, I don't remember.
And let's see. Where do we get? Okay. Jack Skellington's dog. His name is Zero.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay.
It started with a Z.
These are the questions we didn't get to, and I'm going to let you try to answer them.
Okay.
Okay, just for funsies. What kind of animals are the trio who sing Christmas Don't Be Late? One really wants a hula hoop.
I don't know that.
Chipmunks.
Chipmunks.
Please, Christmas, don't be late. Me, I want a hula hoop. I don't know if that's actually the title of the song, but that's what it says constantly. What are their names for bonus?
I don't know.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
Oh, wait.
You should have Alvin, at least.
My gosh. Now I remember it.
I did not expect you to get this one. What kind of dog is Carl in Carl's Christmas?
Beagle. I don't know.
Rottweiler. He and the, like, baby go on an adventure. And this one would be a shot in the dark, but you'll probably get it anyway. According to the Australian Christmas song, Six White Boomers, what kind of animals pull Santa's sleigh rather than reindeer?
Kangaroo.
Yeah, kangaroos. And apparently he also changes into cooler clothes. I really want to hear the song now.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that's, you were very much Scrooge. I expected you to get the reindeer. I thought you would be the Grinch, but okay, there we go.
I want to be a Grinch because that's what I am in real life.
Right, I know. That's what, I mean, you're kind of Scrooge when it comes to Christmas, but you're Grinch, like, year-round. Except for you're more of a cat person than a dog person, but whatever. Anyway, so let us know how you did on the challenge. I hope you folks at least know the reindeer. It's a song. This is why, Casey, this is why you do musical theater and you sing, because you know things because song. It's easier to remember things. Anyway. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to us this year, this crazy year of 2020, because this is our last episode in this calendar year. And we're gonna get through it together, and we'll see what 2021 brings. I was trying to decide if I was gonna say 21 or 2021, what it brings. Hopefully good stuff. We will see. Because next time we talk to you is going to be the first. What? Mm-hmm. It's a whole new decade, Casey.
Yes.
Whoa, that's crazy.
A whole new decade of reckoning.
Probably true. All right, well, thank you for listening. This was the 21st episode. Oh, we get a palindrome on the 1st. We start off the new year with a palindrome. Casey, I told you what a palindrome is. I am very disappointed.
I thought it was like where it's the same forward and backwards.
It is 22.
Oh, yeah, it's 22.
Oh, my God.
I was singing this episode. I was like, what? 21's not a palindrome?
No, next year is the palindrome. Anyway, our second palindrome.
Yes.
Yay! Anyway, thank you for listening to the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the flip side in a whole new year. Have a great holiday season. Bye!